copyrighted program created for the Rio Grande Oil Company.
Los Angeles Police calling all cars, attention all cars, broadcast 106. Stand by to assist Captain Cato and Nick Harris on a special assignment. That's all. Rolls and quits.
Grande declares war on bootleg gasoline. Cut price wars in the gasoline industry have created many gift brands of the cheapest gasoline carelessly produced in crude bootleg fields. Low prices attract many motorists who don't realize the damage done to their motors by such carbon-laden mixtures. Because Rio Grande's sensational patented cracking process has made cracked gasoline a leader among the quality gasoline, Rio Grande assumes leadership in the oil industry's war on poor quality gasoline. Rio Grande refinery experts have purchased an entirely new gasoline to sell at a lower price, yet it is guaranteed to exceed United States government standards and specifications for safe motor fuel. And because Rio Grande cracked gasoline is famous for its use in more police cars, fire engines, and other emergency equipment than any other brand, we decided to name our new gasoline after the famous G-Men who came to the aid of the police to stop bootlegging. We asked those of you who use low-price gasoline to try Rio Grande's G-Gas. Make no mistake, this new G-Gas is not cracked. Rio Grande cracked gasoline for very little more per gallon gives you 100% efficiency, police car performance, cut for effort, and much greater value. But if your budget won't stand the extra pennies for superlative performance, then be a G-Man. Get the finest gasoline made in the low-price field, Rio Grande G-Gas. The low-price gasoline that's guaranteed to exceed government specifications. It is our pleasure to present Chief James E. Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department. Chief Davis.
Good evening, friends. You have heard me emphasize many times on these broadcasts the necessity for closer cooperation between various law enforcement agencies of the nation, state, county, and municipalities. Very often, representatives of several or all of these forces meet in the investigation of a major crime. And unfortunately, more often than not, there is friction where there should be the smoothest cooperation. I have here in the studio with me tonight a man who, I am happy to say, has always worked with the closest kind of cooperation with my force. I consider him not only a close friend, but a very valuable auxiliary. When I know that Nick Harris has been brought into a case, I know that my men will have the finest kind of cooperation. Friends, it is a privilege for me to present one of the finest private detectives in the world, Nick Harris, who has opened his private files to bring you tonight's broadcast of Calling All Cars. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Harris.
Thanks, Chief. And I could say a lot of nice things about you, too. And good evening, everyone. I'm very happy to participate in the fine work this broadcast is doing. During the many years I've been a detective, I have constantly carried on what might be called missionary work in my attempt to educate the public to the fact that crime does not pay. For this reason, I have watched with interest the splendid work Calling All Cars has been doing for the past 2 years along these same lines. I was more than pleased to cooperate when I was asked if I had some material we might use for these broadcasts. story we selected to dramatize tonight is a strange one. The sort of a story you might expect from the pen of an Edgar Allan Poe or a Conan Doyle. Yet it all happened, just as you will hear. Had the mastermind of this criminal been employed upon a more legitimate enterprise, he might have made himself many times the fortune he hoped to gain by his illegal activities. But criminals are funny that way. They never seem to learn that apparently the easy way of the lawbreaker is inevitably the hardest way. We, who every day see the fallacy of the criminal psychology, can only hope that through our educational activities, those who may be contemplating a crime may be deterred before it's too late by the realization of the idiocy of breaking the law. Our story begins on an August morning, several years ago, when I received a telephone call from Wesley Barr, to the editor of the Los Angeles Evening Herald. Wes was somewhat excited. He told me he had a mystery for me to solve and asked me to hurry over to the city room. 15 minutes after he called me, I was standing beside his desk.
Well, Wes, what's on your mind?
This note came in this morning's mail.
Yeah? What's it say?
Listen, it's addressed to the city editor, and it reads, if you will go to the Westlake District, you will find a man named Gavreau. When you find him, you will have the mastermind burglar. I am writing this to save some mother's innocent son. And it's signed, a friend of humanity.
Well, what do you think about it?
Maybe it's a publicity stunt some Hollywood press agent is pulling, and maybe it's on the up and up.
Well, I've got a hunch it's on the level.
Well, if it's a publicity gag, I don't want to be the ghost. And if it's legitimate, it's a matter for the police. So I thought I'd better send you out and get the lowdown.
Okay, Wes.
Only listen. If it turns out to be the real McCoy, you're giving me a scoop on it.
Don't worry, Wes. You'll get it. Exclusive.
So, Mick Harris details a couple of men to investigate the hotels and apartment houses in the Westlake District for a man named Gavreau. The officers play in luck, for at the fifth place visited, they locate their man. An hour later, they are reporting to their chief.
We found a fellow by the name of Gavreau, registered the El Capitan apartment in West 6th. First name is George.
Mm-hmm. What'd you find out about him?
Well, not much, but enough to sound suspicious.
Yeah, the manager of the El Capitan says he's a queer one.
What do you mean by that?
Well, he comes in and goes out at strange times.
Nobody knows anything about him. He keeps to himself all the time.
Well, sounds worth following up.
You boys go out there and shadow that bird. Find out where he spends his time and why.
Okay, Pete.
Watching their man whenever he leaves his apartment, the shadows soon discover that he makes daily visits to a trunk factory on Main Street. They interview the manager of the establishment.
Yes, gentlemen, what can I do for you?
You know a man by the name of Gavreau? George Gavreau?
Yes, indeed. He's a customer of mine.
What do you know about him?
Oh, nothing much. Why do you ask?
We're officers doing a little job of investigation. We want to find out something about the man. Mm-hmm. We'd appreciate your help.
Well, of course, I'm always glad to help the law.
Well, all right, then. What do you know about Gavreau?
Well, as I said, I really don't know very much. I'm making a trunk for him. You know why? I think the guy is a nut.
What do you mean?
Well, he wants a trunk that's padded inside and has a small seat in it.
What?
Yes, and it's to have a false top that can be opened from the inside after the trunk has been locked.
Now, what the devil's all that for?
He says he's going to do a Houdini act on the stage. I tell you, I think he's gasping.
Well, he sure enough sounds daffy to me. But don't forget that note that branded him as a mastermind burglar. I'm beginning to like the looks of this case. But it doesn't make any sense to you. That's why I'm beginning to like it. I think maybe there is something here. When they start making no sense, you're just around the corner from the answer. Now, you boys go on out that guy's tail and don't lose sight of him. Day or night. You may be surprised what we find out about him.
I followed him upstairs. He went into room 12. Had a key to it.
Now, what do you suppose that guy's up to? With a swell apartment on the El Capitan,
And a room in a dump like this, out on South Flower Street.
Well, we better see what the landlady knows about it.
Okay.
Here's her apartment around here to the side. Apartment around here to the side.
Tenant here by the name of Gabriel?
Yes.
He's in number 12, isn't he?
Yes.
What do you know about him?
Who wants to know?
Well, now, let's not get in an argument, lady. We're merely asking some questions.
Hey, you look like cops to me.
Well, even if we are, we won't get you into any trouble.
Well, can I depend on that?
You can.
Well, I don't know nothing about Mr. Gabriel, excepting that he pays his rent in advance, and he hasn't slept in his bed since he took the room.
Oh, hasn't slept in his bed, eh?
Well, that don't bother me none. If you don't sleep in it, I don't have to make it.
How long have you had the room?
About 10 days. Now, look here. I don't want you to go make no trouble for him. If all my roomers is as quiet as you.
Well, looks to me, boys, as though that Fire Street spot is our friend's hideout and center of operations.
I'm beginning to agree with you, Chief. It makes so little sense, there must be something to it.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. Go back there, rent the room next to his, and install a dictograph in it, and stake out on him. I'll put another nail on the outside to shadow him whenever he leaves the place.
Okay, Chief.
With a man constantly at the dictograph, and another constantly shadowing Gavreau when he leaves the rooming house, the suspect is always under Miss Harris' surveillance. A few days later, Gavreau was seen scraping up an acquaintance with a boy about 19 in Westlake Park. He was followed to the Flower Street room, and once certain that Gavreau had gone to his room, the Harris operative joined his partner at the dictograph.
You just came in?
Yeah, I know it. I've been hearing you. Think of a young kid over in the park. They're both in there now. Put on those earphones. It's not the phone. I couldn't get close enough to him in the park.
Realizing that they have stumbled onto something big, the two operatives report their findings to Nick Harris, expecting to get the order to make an arrest once. But Harris, knowing that if he arrests Davro at this point, he will have no case. So overt act has been committed. Orders the two men to return to the plant and await the development. This they do, and 3 days later, their patient is rewarded. We overhear the following conversation.
Kid, we're ready to try the trunk out.
Well,
we've got a bank all lined up. Tomorrow I want you to make arrangements to have the trunk placed in the vault next Friday. I'll give it 2 days. Then I want you to get the trunk out of there on the pretense that you decided to go away and you're taking the trunk with you. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I got it.
From the time I'm sealed up in there until I get out again, it's all up to you. You think you can handle it?
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Good. Now, this afternoon you go and see the people at the bank. Tell them that you have valuables worth a lot of money in this trunk. Then, when that's done, there's nothing left for you.
And that's the story, Mr. Weininger.
But it's the most fantastic scheme I've ever heard, Mr. Harris. It's incredible.
Yes, it may. It's true. Now, I want to ask your cooperation in this matter. I want you to let the boy have the trunk moved into your vault.
But look, Harris, you realize the chance I take by doing that? Suppose something goes wrong and this plan of theirs works. Why, the bank has valuable stored in those vaults worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I assure you that nothing will go wrong, Mr. Weininger. I'll have men posted here in the bank. I'll be here myself. There isn't a possible chance of anything happening to your valuables.
You realize that if news of this thing leaked out to my depositors, I'd be ruined. No one would leave their belongings in the bank for such things happen. I feel it all right about this, Mr. Harris.
Naturally, I understand your feeling. But I can't see how you fail to realize the importance of this thing. I want to catch the criminal red-handed. This way, I can.
Well, there's something I don't think you know about our vault, Mr. Harris. Every night, in order to protect the furs and things down there, we spray a chemical solution into the vault that is powerful enough to kill a man. If this criminal ever does get in, he won't be alive in the morning.
Oh, it puts a different light on things, doesn't it?
Well, if you want your man alive today.
All right. I'll tell you what. If you'll allow the trunk to be put in there, I'll make an arrest before you close the vault. How's that?
Well, I suppose that would be all right.
That way, there'll be no danger of anything happening to your deposits, and I'll still have my man in a case against you. You agree to that?
All right, Mr. Harris, I will.
Good. All you have to do is to act as though you suspected nothing. I'll take care of the rest.
But the very next day, Davro suddenly changes his plan. Instead of a bank, he informs his assistant he has selected a cinema land storage company for the robbery. That he has set the date for that week. Reporting at once to their chief, and then plan a new strategy.
Did Davro give any reason for his sudden change in plans?
He told the kid that on account of a lot of the screen stars being robbed lately. They put all their stuff in this storage place. There were a lot better pickings there than in the bank.
I see. Well, that changes our plans a little, but not seriously.
You got to let them get into the storage warehouse, Chief?
Oh, I am. And a few of us will pick up the boy, go into the building, and wait for our friend to make an appearance out of his magic trunk.
Won't he be surprised when he sees us?
I rather imagine he will. Not too happily surprised.
I'd sure like to get a look at the inside of that trunk.
Now, I'd better go out and see the manager of the Cinema Land Storage Company and tell him about it.
You want us to stay with the dictograph, Chief?
Right. And if our genius makes another change of plans, let me know at once.
Well, don't worry, we will. And I hope he doesn't. I'd kind of like to finish this thing up.
Sure, boys. We should have DeVoe behind bars before the week is out.
It's unbelievable, that's what it is. Like a storybook.
Not quite as harmless as a storybook, but certainly a strange scene.
What is it you want me to do?
Well, I'm not just sure of what day they'll bring the trunk in, but I'll have men stationed outside watching your place all the time. All you have to do is to act as though everything is all right. Have the trunk moved into the warehouse and let my men take care of the rest.
And you're sure there won't be any slip-up?
Absolutely. You needn't have a single fear.
Well, all right. But I'd be afraid to pick someplace else instead of here.
Gives a fellow the creeps knowing that bandits are around. How do I know it's the right trunk?
I'll let you know. Now, don't worry about that.
Kind of nervous about it, but well, I guess it's okay.
I'm sure you'd see it that way. Thanks a lot. Don't worry.
The plans are carefully laid. An inescapable net is thrown around the Cinemaland storage building. A dozen Harris operatives are placed at the convenient spot in the neighborhood. From the second story of a small building across the street, two men watch night and day. From the cab of a milk wagon parked down the street, three more men soon begin unloading and unloading crates of milk. Keep an alert eye on all passers-by. Meanwhile, in the office of Nick Harris.
Nick, if you let this story leak out to a rival journal, I'll nail your skin to a fence. Don't forget that you promised me a scoop on it.
I'm not forgetting, Wes. I can't give you anything more than I already have until they make a move. When they do, you're in on it. Yes?
Dr. Carl and
Hooker here to see you. Oh, I send
them
in.
Yes, sir.
What's up? Nothing will do your rag any good, you old loser. Just Herman Klein and Ed Cato from Central. I sent for them.
Well, I guess I might as well leave you to talk to them. Let me know when things begin popping.
Come in. Oh, hello, boys.
Hey.
You know Wes Barr, don't you?
Sure. How are you, Herman? Ed?
Oh, hello, Wes.
Might know we'd find you here if there was something breaking.
Sit down, boys. I thought you might be interested to know that we expect our little trunk genius to pull his act any minute now.
Good. I was going to think maybe he's been running up the wrong alley or something.
No. We're in the right alley. It's just been a matter of waiting. But it looks as though we're just about to go, finally. Yes?
I think it's 1:20, Chief. The bull has just locked himself in the trunk. He's been supervising the loading of it under the truck now.
Good. Stay with that trunk. Don't lose it no matter what happens. I'll head to the storage building at once.
Right.
Well, that's what we've been waiting for, boys. How about it, Wes? You still leaving, or do you want to go along?
What a question to ask me. Come on.
Picking up a newspaper cameraman on the way, Harris, Cato, Klein, and Barr roll out Sunset Boulevard to the warehouse. A block from the destination, they see a delivery truck pull up to the entrance of the building. Two men jump out and let down the back street.
Better cruise by and get a good look at him, Herman. When you get to the other corner, pull around at some park.
I'll see you.
Okay, Herman. Come around here and stop. Barr, you and I had better cut across this lot. Herman, you and Cato walk up the other side of the street. We'll let him get the trunk inside and pick up the kids. Herman, you and Cato walk up the other side of the street. We'll let him get the trunk inside and pick up the grid.
Okay, Nick. Come on, Ed.
The grid.
Okay, Nick. Come on, Ed. Okay, Nick. Come on, Ed.
Let's go. They're inside.
the street.
Quiet.
Pardon me, buddy. What's your name?
Huh? What's that?
What's your name?
Ed Silver.
What's in that trunk?
What's it to you?
Maybe look at that.
Upstairs.
That's right. Now, how about it? What's in that trunk?
Why, some clothes.
Look here, Silver. This isn't going to do you any good. You told the people in that warehouse you had oil samples in that trunk, didn't you?
Yes, I guess I did.
Now it's closed, right, kid?
I don't know.
Closed, right, kid?
I don't know.
How long are you going to leave George in that trunk, Silver?
Why? I knew something would happen.
All right, kid. We know all about it. You go up and see George?
Why? Well, I guess I wasn't cut out to be a successful burglar. I had a feeling something was going to go wrong.
Come on, kid. Let's go up, boys.
There you go, man. Good. Trunk's up on the vault. You want to go up there now?
That's right.
The elevator's right over here.
Don't start things till I get my camera set up, will you, boy?
Sure. I wouldn't think of it.
This is going to be something worth photographing.
This way. Through this door there.
Some door that. Looks like a bank.
Looks like a bank. It is a bank. At least, the door itself. Absolutely burglar-proof.
Yeah, we can see that it is.
There's the trunk. All right, Mac. Get the cameras up.
Okay.
All ready?
Let it go.
All right, Gavro. You might as well come out of there.
He's going to play possum.
Come on, George. Open up. Are you coming out, or do we bust this trunk to bits and pull you out?
Maybe he smothered to death.
I don't think so. Gavro, I'll give you just one more chance to do your Houdini and come out of there. If you don't, we're going to smash that trunk to bits and you with it.
Look. There's a whole piece of the trunk lifting up.
Come on out, Gavro, and keep your hands in sight.
Don't shoot!
No, we're not shooting, Gavro. That was a flashlight picture. Now, stay where you are, you won't get hurt.
When you look at that trunk, it's falling all apart.
Put the cuffs on him, boys.
Right. Come on, Houdini. Here's something for you to play with. See what you can do with them.
How'd you know I was in here?
We've known all about you for quite a while, Gavro.
But how? No one knew but the kid and I.
I will tell you all about it when we get to the station, George.
And they got you too, kid.
Yeah, they got me.
Oh, that's too bad. I still don't see why it didn't work.
All right, Herman. Suppose you and Ed breaking down and book them while we look through this trunk. I'm going to make a thorough examination of it.
Right. Come on, you two. We'll take a little ride.
I can't see why it didn't work. How could
anyone know that? Oh, well, you're looking at this paraphernalia wet. Cards to pass the time away, bandages and iodine in case of injury, a complete set of burglar tools, well, food, water. Well, this is practically a completely furnished house.
Did you get a picture of all this, Mike?
Sure. Didn't you see that guy knock the trunk to pieces when I set that flash powder off?
That's right. I'd almost forgotten it in the excitement. That was what scared Gavro, though. He thought he'd been killed.
Don't die for a minute. You ought to be more careful with your flash guns, Mac. I thought Gavro would come out shooting.
Which reminds me, that's the one thing he hasn't got in this trunk, a gun.
You're right. I guess he just figured it was a foolproof scheme and he wouldn't need one. He had just about everything figured but us.
Gavro and the boy are held on charges of attempted burglary. When the day arrives for the trial.
The case of George Gavro and Ed Silver versus the state. Are the defendants present?
Gavro is here, Your Honor, but I don't see the other defendant, Mr. Silver. Perhaps Mr. Harris knows.
He's supposed to be here, Your Honor. If the court pleases to take a short recess, I'll go over to the jail and see what's detaining him.
We will take a short recess.
Across the bridge of sighs goes McHarris to the old county jail, scrutinizing the prisoners he passes, looking for the strangely absent Silver. A turnkey leads the detective to Silver's cell, where the boy is lying on his cot.
Silver. Silver. Get up. He was supposed to be in court a half hour ago. Better open the cell, turnkey. Looks like he's trying to pull a fast one.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Silver. There's no use trying to get out of this.
He's got the moose.
Turn him over.
Oops.
Poor kid. Couldn't stand the gas. Looks like it was heart trouble. Well, he's better off this way, I guess. Just goes to show, turnkey, that there's no way you can beat the law and win.
So Ed Silver beat the rat by the surest way, death. Gavro, so-called mastermind burglar, was sentenced to the maximum term prescribed by law for the crime of attempted burglary, and after serving his sentence was deported from this country as an undesirable alien. And so ends the story of one of the most ingenious plots I have ever run into. Had it not been for that mysterious letter, Gavro might have been able to carry out his scheme and even now be living off the thousands of dollars of loot. But fortunately for a great many people, such was not the case. And as the result of our discovery, trunks left in storage are thoroughly inspected before being allowed to be placed in warehouse or bank vault. Thus, my advice to anyone who might wish to try this scheme is, it might have worked once, but it won't work now. You can't commit crime and get away with it.